If you have not received the link, everybody take down your hands. If you have not received the link, please raise your hand.
I don't know that I've received a link.
I just emailed it.
Yeah, okay, I see it now.
I have to check. Give me just a moment.
Okay.
Madam.
Point of information.
Chair. What is your point of information?
That the PMB has decided that they have a right to attend and be and watch the executive session. That's the point of information. And the PMB director, Jim Dingman, is here.
Not a proper point of information. I will state before we go into executive session that we have sent a letter to the chair and to the HR Pacifica and to the all the other officers stating that we believe that a letter stating the concerns regarding violations of California laws regarding this motion. And we have two attorneys on our board and they have both informed me as well as employment attorneys, a motion that violates California or federal laws is not legal and may not be imposed. And until I get a clarification from the PNB on our objection to this motion and stating that we believe it is illegal and the reasons that we've stated is illegal, we will not be allowing New York directors into our, we will not. And I will also say that 5.5 years,
Madam, this has been honored by other boards.
You do not have the floor. Could you please mute him?
Yes, but I'm just saying, Madam Chair.
Excuse me. You are not a part of our local station board. We have stated our legal objections to this motion. I have no control over other boards, but it's our understanding your motion at the PNB level is illegal. And until we have clarification from the board, we are not going to abide by that because you cannot make a motion that is illegal. A motion does not trump California law or federal law. So until we get clarification from the chair of the board, the HR director, we are not going to violate the law, what we believe is a violation of federal and state laws. So we're going to go ahead into executive session right now. Thank you very much. And we will see you guys in executive session. Thank you.
Hi, we're a little bit late. We just got out of our executive session to all the people here to speak in public comments. If you are here to make a public comment, please raise your hand in the reaction section. Please raise your hand if you would like to make a public comment. Okay, Christina, so I have invited people to raise their hands for public comments, and we're ready whenever you are.
Okay. And are we all back here? Is our board back?
We have 16 participants, and we have...
I think...
Give people a couple more minutes.
Yeah, we need to have at least majority of the board members to make a quorum before we begin. Carol, would you keep track for a moment? I'm going to take off for a second too. I'll be right back. Take a health break.
Yes, I believe we're ready to begin. So, the first person is Kurt Kuwald. Kurt, can you unmute yourself? And, everyone will have 2 minutes.
Yeah, let me see. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so I tried to get my video on. There we go. There I am. Okay. Somewhere. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, glad to be here. I mean, glad to be taking part in this. My name's Kurt Kuwald. I'm a longtime Oakland resident and interfaith minister that does a lot of work with low-wage workers. I'm on the board of eBase and a part of the Economic Justice for Black Oakland. My concern today that what I wanted to raise in my public comment is this idea of, that the station or that Pacifica begin to have underwriting. And I am absolutely opposed to that. I feel really strongly that strikes directly at the very heart of what this station is and what it was created for. And so in my mind, to go to underwriting, we're going to get the same kind of reporting in the end then that we get on NPR and all of those other stations, where they have to capitulate subtly, though it is, they still end up capitulating to their sponsors. They can't go beyond a certain statements and et cetera. So that's my pitch today. That's my concern. And I really hope that you all, that the board here will really oppose that and stand firm against that idea. I think it's really, really problematic and not healthy for us. So thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Next we have Richard Stone. Go ahead, Richard. You can unmute yourself, Richard, and Kai, if you will unmute him, please.
Thank you. Let the record show that I have returned the chair.
Thank
Go
you.
Go ahead, Richard. Sure. Richard? Did you unmute yourself, Richard? Could you unmute yourself, please? Kai, could you help maybe with unmuting Richard, with him unmuting himself?
He can unmute. I can't unmute him.
Richard, you need to unmute yourself if you wish to speak, please. Richard.
Move on to the next person.
I'm going to, please be quiet. Thank you. Virginia Browning, since Richard seems unable to unmute himself.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you could let Virginia go now. I just figured out how to unmute.
No, go ahead, Richard. It's your turn. Go ahead. You unmuted.
Okay.
Yourself.
Yeah. Well, since I'm joining late, I wanted to, you know, speak originally about one thing, but I will, preface it with, what the previous speaker had just spoke. Really had no idea that there was any type of, underwriting proposal. I don't want to, get mired in it other than the fact that just general idea that I really, find it, kind of distressing. So yeah, I really sorry to, hear that something like that would even be on the table. And the other thing I just want to speak about briefly is, as many people here may know, that I was once a member of the community advisory board, and as it stands right now with the current standing of the bicameral board, I really think that we should all that everyone should be reinstated in the way that it was originally proposed. In accordance to the way that the elections, occurred in, 2010. And, that comes by, virtue of what was known, as the single transferable vote. So I, really would like to, to see that in order. I just really think it's unacceptable, as well, that to be operating, in a bicameral or have a quantum cab, as I call it. Yeah, quantum cabs. I mean, quantum physics is great, but, we're not in search of Schrodinger's, cat or agenda items. We should have, one solid, unified, cab, which where all the members are dutifully voted on the single transferable vote. That's all I need to say. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. We're going to Virginia now, please.
Hi. I missed the first part of the LSB, but I was able to catch when the financial reports from the CNB were being given. And I want to say that I heard the part about how it's so crucial to go to online interactive type of in addition to radio. And for many years, the people not associated with the so-called protectors have been urging and begging for more non-radio interactions such as YouTube and Facebook and just an online presence on the KPFA site, which we once had, and then it was all deleted. But also, in addition to that, one of the reporters mentioned that I know, Ann Garrison, who reports just on the Saturday news every so often, that people should just do little summaries of what they, after all these years that this has been recommended by us, that every show should have to put a little summary of what that show is about so that it can be searched for online. And keep track of how many listeners. You could do that now with the Area 914. Apparently, there's nobody tracking how many people are accessing that. And that was another thing that Ann had noted, because she always does do summaries of her reports on the Saturday Only News. And it's an important thing that would bring a lot of money at a time when you need some money. Thanks.
Thank you. The next speaker is Lee. And are you timing, Carol, or is Fred?
Fred, are you timing, or do you want me to? I guess I am, because I'm not hearing him.
Okay, thank you. I'll call on Lee. Would you please unmute yourself, Lee? L-E-E. You unmuted yourself and muted again, so please try unmuting yourself again, Lee.
Christina, he's saying he doesn't have a microphone in the chat.
Oh, okay. Then we'll move on then to caller user number one.
Yes, this is Jonathan Markowitz, listener member from Los Angeles. I wanted to commend the suggestion by Donald Goldmacher about establishing YouTube channels for each of the five stations, actually, one separate YouTube channel. But what I'm recommending, and I have mentioned this on many public meetings and board meetings in the past, and there's been a lot of agreement with this idea, is that it's not necessary to think that YouTube channels have to be video. I actually think there can just be some stock photos that are displayed. So the primary thing, I believe, that what has to happen is that these YouTube channels must be 24/7 simulcast, basically live streaming over the internet of each of the five signal areas, and that each 24-hour cycle should be archived on that YouTube channel so that people have a reference to be able to, first of all, they'll be able to go using their cell phone wherever they are, or whatever devices if they're at home, and they can tune into the any of the five stations. Of course, there would be information on each of these YouTube pages. I think that YouTube, as a streaming platform, would be very, very useful.
Obviously the other
social media. But I also wanted to just point out quickly before I.
I'm sorry, your time is up. You can get it back in line.
Can I make just my final comment about this, please? I wanted to state that it's a mistake to seek outside funding from the listener base in spite of how difficult it is. We need to have some simulcast emergency Pacifica-wide fundraisers to raise money for the foundation.
Your time is up. Your time is expired.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your comment.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to take Anthony because he is not a director. We have an agreement that we take directors last. So, Anthony Fest, go ahead. Anthony, could you unmute yourself, or are you gone? Anthony? Well, Anthony disappeared, unless...
No, he's there, Christina, but he hasn't unmuted.
He muted himself accidentally.
There we go.
Thank you. Go
ahead. I'm Anthony Fest, program producer, former newscaster and program host. I was on the LSB for three terms, but this particular meeting was absolutely the worst LSB meeting I have ever seen. One of your responsibilities is the review and approval of the station budget. It's a task that comes around only once a year, and there's over $3.5 million involved this year. And yet the LSV set this grotesquely compressed and completely unnecessary timetable, only 1 hour for the item. And you limited the question and answers to 2 minutes apiece, even limiting the business manager's answers. And then on top of that, you set an early adjournment time for the entire meeting. Absolutely no reason to do any of these things. There ought to be no limits on questions and answers, and the total time for the item should be what's ever required for the board members to inform themselves of what's needed as to the budget. It's one of the LSV's most important duties, and the membership, or I should say the misleadership of this board, is deliberately blocking a thorough job being done. And as terrible as this is, your deliberate avoidance of other LSV duties is even worse. You're supposed to do annual performance evaluations of the general manager and the program director. The GM just left after 9 years on the job, and he was evaluated once. The program director was never evaluated at all. Now, some of you are about to term out in December, and I've got to say, it's about time you did. But I hope the newer members who ran on the protector's ticket will consult their consciences and recognize that their duties in being elected to this board, their duties are to the bylaws.
Time, please.
And not to their buddies.
Time.
Thank you.
Time is off. I think Nancy Saibara is next.
Yes. Thank you. This is Nancy Saibara Aditomi from KPFT, Houston. And I was dropped off just before you started to go to executive session. So I thought the meeting had adjourned. I'm sorry. I have missed, a lot, I think. Did you have your executive session?
Did you ask a question?
Yes. I just wondered if I missed it. Okay. Right. Well, anyway, I will just say that, if you're having an executive session and you're going to remove somebody, I think you better ask that person if they would like to have an open meeting, a trial and open meeting. And KPFT did this in 2017. We had a a member who was also on the PMB and also the IED, and he requested an open meeting. And he has that right. And in Robert's Rules of Order, it does not say you cannot have an open meeting if you're going to do that. And it's so much better when you do have everything in open meeting. I wanted to know, ask the roll call of raising your hands. I think it would be much more transparent if you would do the name and let people do an actual roll call vote instead of just counting hands, because people who listen to the archives of this meeting are not going to be able to see the hands. They're just not going to know who voted how. There's no transparency of voting. Also, I wonder if the figure $8.5 million owed to, by WBAI is correct. That was shocking for me. I don't remember it being that much. Please check your figures. And also, it's very prohibitive for not allowing the public to have their freedom of speech.
Time is up. Thank you. Time is up.
You should allow the chat.
Your time is up, Nancy. Thank you. We'll go to the next person, call-in user two.
Hello?
Go ahead. You're unmuted.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so a couple with regard to the budget. The LSB has a right to know all the staff positions, part-time, full-time, whatever. They have a right to know the salaries within a certain range. They have a right to have a list of contractors and consultants and the job descriptions for those people and the wages that they're being paid. How you can analyze a budget and approve a budget without knowing where your largest expense, which will be staff and benefits, are going is beyond me. The fact that there's no local finance committee that can systematically review this information is stunning. But the idea that you can actually intelligently approve a budget that you receive the night before that you don't have a chance to have a conversation about because the chair interrupts the business manager to answer, you know, a bunch of the questions. It's quite striking. The unevenly enforced rules, or what do you call them, agreements, to which no one agreed, including members of the public, who apparently cannot say the name of board members who are violating all sorts of principles. Calling someone's name is not the same as calling someone a name. We should try to get that clarified before the CPB intervenes. Yes, we one day hope to get CPB money again. With regard to the SDC license renewal, where a majority of the LSB voted to support the bravery of the man who called around New York trying to find people to sign on to another member's petition to block the New York broadcast license renewal. That's pretty shameful stuff.
Time is up. Thank you very much. Jim Dingman, looks like you're the director that's there, and I don't see anybody else in line, so go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Jim Dingman. I'm a listener member director from New York on the PNB. Of course, I want to reinforce what my colleagues on the PNB said. The issue, and this is, of course, not secret, the problem is we have $60,000 in the bank and $810,000 right now in payables that are due September 30th. That is the predicament. Okay? Simple as that. And so people opposing, I sent the underwriting motion to Christina and Carol and others earlier, so I hope that they circulate it. Because obviously it's not to get money from Lockheed Martin. That's absurd. And of course it's not going to fill the gap that we need. We need the doubling and tripling of the audiences at each station. That's the solution to this problem. And I should add that your station, although it's a great example of stability compared to others, I know you've had hard times this summer, and certainly Washington is in the same situation. So that's why we're trying to do the underwriting, and, you know, there's lots of other things going on at the national level. We're trying to fight back this situation because nobody wants to sell a building or sell a signal. That is the worst-case scenario. Now, I have to quote Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, "I shot an arrow in the sky, and where it falls, I know not where." I have to say that those folks who are, and this is my opinion only, who are trying to jeopardize the license of New York, I must admit that's an interesting little tactic because it's 40% of the value of all our signals. So I must admit that it would be great if people could cease and desist on this and we all work together to try to get through this mess. I never heard 8.5 million. I wish, Fred, you'd break that down for me. I'd like to hear what that comes from. But let's try to get our act together because all of us have the opportunity now to really try to do something great with this whole system. And yes, we're on a cliff that's breaking right now. Forget about the slippery slope. We're on a goddamn cliff that's breaking. So that's what we all have to work on. And let's cut all the internets and bullshit out. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Fred Cook.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for, hey, Jim, thanks for quoting my great, great, great uncle, Henry there.
Out of order. We're calling on Fred Cook now. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Fred Cook, and if the LSB had followed the PNB mandated decision making of single transferable voting, I would be recognized as a member of the Community Advisory Board. I've written two emails to the local station board, and I have not gotten a response to either one of them. So I'm going to try and bring this up concisely. It's come to my attention that Stephanie Wells, the executive director of the National Foundation, is working with a unique contract that relieves her of duties and authorities that would ordinarily be part of an executive director's job. This raises the question for me, whether the previous general manager was also operating with a modified contract that changed what would be his normal responsibilities and authorities. If that's the case, we need to know that in order to do a proper evaluation. The same applies to any other staff members who are working under contract. If we don't have transparency about the contracts, we can't properly and fairly evaluate their performance or the impact of their policy decisions. So that is what I'm requesting, is another level of transparency. Because I want for people to be evaluated fairly and according to what their actual contractual responsibilities and authorities are. I also want to say that the procedural irregularities that have been going on. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. That's 3 seconds early, but thank you.
Jim Dingman wanted to be recognized again.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to, since I'm talking to a Berkeley audience, and I, of course, let you know, guys, my family lived in the Bay Area for many years, so I love the Bay Area. Let's go down why we're in this situation. When the Empire State Building contract was to be negotiated, one of the problems with the PNB at that time was all the stations were doing well financially, all of them. Between 2003 and 2005, there was a $600,000 deficit in New York that never was addressed. Now, remember, what we're dealing with right now at KPFK is, I know that they're fighting hard to reverse the situation. They're losing about $100,000 a month. And KPFT, at its lowest, had 15,000 people a week listening to it. Now, that's down from what their current number is about 80,000. The amount of people listening to KPFA right now is about 80 to 90,000. The amount of people listening to KPFK is about 60 to 70,000. The amount of people listening to New York is about 70,000, and that fluctuates. It goes down 50% during the summer. And the amount of people listening to PFW is about 60 to 70,000. Now, they have the largest market share of any station. They have a 0.7 market share. They're the highest of any Pacifica station. So that's the problem we have to solve. We have to figure out how we can quickly double and triple the amount of people listening to the stations in the next 6 months. That requires tremendous cooperation, not clashing alternative visions that are irreconcilable. That's where we're at right now with all these fights going on. And frankly, if we had a 500,000 people in each signal area listening to each station, we'd be fighting about how to spend all the goddamn money we'd make. So that's the kind of situation we have to deal with in terms of getting the hell out of this mess. I'm going to argue that we start again, a task force be formed. I know people have all sorts of reservations about this, but we missed the boat last year to apply for the CPB. Yes, we probably will be rejected in some stations because they don't have enough audience. Los Angeles, Houston, and probably New York don't have enough audience. But guess who has audience? Berkeley and Washington. So I think we're going to go ahead and try to do it this year, come hell or high water. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. We have call-in user 2.
Thank you. I wanted to point out to folks that when the LSB approves its budget, that is not the end of its work. I think someone said you get to do this once a year. You actually are responsible for monitoring every quarter and reporting to the PNB every quarter on the spending and income side to make sure they are aligned. So this is not the end, although I will say it is a very bad beginning. I will also point out to apparently your treasurer made a statement recently in the earlier portion of the meeting that when the budget becomes final when the National Finance Committee, the PNB's Finance Committee, votes on it. And that is not the case. Unless I missed a bylaw change, the NFC can recommend, but it is still the PNB that approves the budgets for all the units. So that correction should be noted. With regard to underwriting, it is the beginning of an end, in my view. It is, I listen to WNYC in New York quite a bit, as well as obviously WBAI, and I am sick of the underwriting that is really commercials, and now they've started targeting individual programs for their support. That is not a good idea. There are other ways to save Pacifica, and you won't hear anything about it at the tightly held KPFA meetings where, as I said, the secretary pretty much runs the chair and the chair runs everybody else over.
understand that you guys have formed a committee to investigate foundation members as though you are now the FBI. I mean, there is a serious loss of contact with reality happening in Berkeley. The treasurer also keeps talking about something about the CFO from NETA and the budgets and when she decided to review the budgets. No one ever talks about the budgets.
Your time is up. Come on, somebody else. Yes, Nancy Saibara. You need to unmute.
Yes, thank you. I think I'm unmuted. Can you hear
me? You are now.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yes. This LSB needs to give more time and more for the budget. I mean, you need to have a finance committee open to all LSB members, just like all the other stations. By not having a finance committee, you're just doing just inside people and there's no communication. This is unfair to the LSB because LSB have a financial responsibility and a moral and ethical one to the membership that the money is being spent correctly. And they need to be in the know to be able to ask questions to the business manager, and learn from the business manager. I mean, this should not be, you know, sent the night before. Again, you're doing this so many times, and this cannot continue. I mean, it's not democratic, and it's insulting to the LSB. I mean, what are y'all doing? I mean, you ran, you volunteered, and you're not taking responsibility of the membership's money, how it's being spent. So please.
Madam Chair, point of order.
Yeah, public comments are over. We're at half an hour. And I'm going to take the opportunity that we had to cut off before. We had already scheduled in Chris Corey reading his report. I'm going to finish off the meeting with Chris Corey reading his treasurer's report because it's critical that everybody hears it. Chris, would you please read your treasurer's report?
I can find my mute button. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So I'll send around a copy of this and the associated spreadsheet I used for it after I read the report. So this is dated today, Pacifica was fortunate in the last several years, ending 2021, to have some extraordinary revenue events take place. These events were all in excess of $1 million and masked the underlying difficulties at several of the stations. The first of these were several large bequests. The latter two were the PPP funding that came during the coronavirus. As the expectation of Pacifica was that following the coronavirus, the revenues would bounce back, producing robust gains for the organization that would compensate for the loss of extraordinary revenue. What actually happened, however, is exactly the opposite. Revenue was relatively stable during the outbreak as the public sheltered in place with federal support to increase spending. And listeners actually had more free capital than before the outbreak. Now that the federal funds have dried up, inflation is rearing its ugly head and consumers and radio listeners are cutting back on spending. So what we are seeing at Pacifica is an across the board decline in revenues, including a breathtaking 25% drop year over year in listener revenue. There are no easy solutions going forward. Our accounts payable are exceedingly high, as Jim Dingleman mentioned earlier. And pressure on us by our creditors will continue to build until a solution is found. And the problem is no longer isolated to one or two divisions. In the 2020 fiscal year, balancing the budget at only two units would have put the network on gainful ground. Now it would take no less than four divisions to do so. KPFK, KPFT, WBAI, and the National Office. Furthermore, we have only one gainful division, WPFW, and there are troubles brewing there. This is truly a four-alarm fire for Pacifica. I say this to you with great reluctance because in the 5 years I've served on this board, we have heard this kind of rhetoric many times, even when it was only a one or two alarm fire. I want to state clearly for the record that I was not one of the ones calling our past condition an emergency. My hope was that we would recognize the deteriorating condition of the network, gather together to fix it, and right the ship. This has not happened. Although some of the factionalism in the organization has attenuated, the suspicions, false accusations, finger pointing, etc., are still rampant. Until these cease and we come together in unity, we are not in a hopeful position. To reiterate, in the past, corrective actions at one or two stations would have righted the organization and put us on solid ground. Now we are going to have to make corrective actions at essentially half of Pacifica to right things. There is reason to be optimistic at the PNO and KPFT. These two units have been through a period of relatively high expense and relatively low revenue and are likely heading into a period where revenues are higher and expenses are lower. That would put the corrective burden again on WBAI and KPFK. But what is more concerning at this moment in time is that there's basically no solution for managing our short and long-term debt. As we have only the affiliates and WPFW operating gainfully, we are losing over $100,000 per month. Despite all of the previous somewhat misplaced hysteria, I am unhappy to report that we are on a collision course with a true crisis for the first time in my tenure as a board member. If you will indulge me, I would like to offer my recommendations as a former treasurer of Pacifica. Some of you will dismiss them as obvious or mundane, but they are not intended to be anything other than obvious. I will start with the intermediate term solutions, then work backwards to the immediate crisis. The intermediate term solutions include attracting and maintaining programmers that believe in the Pacifica mission to take their seat at a prestigious organization in Los Angeles and New York. How that is done is a matter for discussion at all levels of Pacifica, but in my opinion, it has to be done. The loss of two programmers in LA led in large part to our current crisis. So it seems only logical that reversing that would reverse the now frail standing of this division. KPFT needs to restore operation and attract listeners. I'm confident that this is underway, but it needs to happen quickly before the network runs out of necessary resources to accomplish it. The PNO needs to cut expenses, and this is underway with the unfortunate loss of NEDA. How we will restore the functionality of NEDA is yet to be determined, but this also must be done. This intermediate term project has to be addressed on the shortest possible timetable to ensure the prospect of future CPB funding. The short-term solutions would include securing agreements with creditors. This is a necessary step as we are currently only able to cover payroll and some other essential expenses. All other expenses are essentially in the wind. Failure to do so will trigger some draconian and unfortunate outcomes, which may render Pacifica inoperable. I'm sorry that I could not eschew my usual optimism, but I find little in our current standing that merits it. If you have any questions, I will try to entertain them. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think that we are actually at time for our meeting. We had it till 2:30 and it's time certain. So I think we all should be really thinking about what we can do to help us from keeping us from going off the cliff, and the report that was very, very doer, that Chris just gave. I appreciate you giving the report, Chris, because if we can't keep the lights on and every station, then we're in big trouble.
Indeed.
So, thank you very much, everybody, for being here. I have a motion to adjourn.
To adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Is there any objection to adjourn?
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Hi, Andrea.
Hey.
Okay.
Blessings to you all.
Hey, sweetheart. So do we have is there any objection to the motion to adjourn? Please let us know now.
Without objection.
Fred, do you see any objection?
I see, I see Elizabeth Milos as the only objection.
Okay.
You want to vote on the motion, please.
Okay, well, we'll take a vote then on the motion to adjourn. Everyone in favor, please raise their hands. I'm raising my hand, Fred.
I hear you.
Okay.
I'm trying to raise mine.
Yeah.
And okay. I'm gonna. Here, reaction. There it is. Raise hand. Okay. I see 1, 2, 3. I see Carol Wolfley, Catherine, Leslie, Chris, Andrea, Zach, Akia, Lily, Darlene, me, Lee, and you, Christine.
Lee is not
and
a
Don
member.
G. So we have, right now we have, 13 people who are in favor of, ending this meeting.
Those opposed.
Who did someone vote who wasn't a member?
No, yes. Whom?
Yes, Lee.
I didn't see Lee.
Lee took a hand down.
Okay, I still have.
You still have the majority.
I have 12. Yes.
Okay, 12 in favor. Could you please put your hands down and then we'll have hands down, everyone, please. And those opposed to adjourn, please put your hands up.
Okay, Lily, your hands up or down. And call-in user, do I know who you are?
That's New York.
So they don't get a vote?
No, they don't.
James, Milos, Borstrom, and Voorhees all say no. And so does, no, that's just so it's four no's.
Okay, the motion carries, and the final vote is what?
12 to 4.
Thank you. 12 to 4, the motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you. Everybody have a good rest of your
Saturday. All right. Thank you. Thank you all so much.
To attend and be well. Be safe, everybody. Be well. Thank you. Bye-bye.